This week, it's all things DC, Black Myth, Wukong, and more. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 245 of the It's Obvious podcast. My name's Garrett Drake. I'm joined online by Preston Pugh. Preston, how are you?
I'm doing great, Garrett. How are you doing?
Doing well. Having my Sunday afternoon tea, and ready to talk about Batman, definitely Batman. Video games, of course. And I'd love to just catch up with you. I know you and I have talked very briefly this week. We talked last night about all the cool Batman stuff, which I'm excited to talk with you more about. And just anything else going on in your life? How's your week?
It's a pretty normal week. Nothing too crazy going on. Not playing as many games as I would like to, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, about the same. I did work quite a bit myself and did not get to play much. I had about 30-ish minutes to play this week, and I bounced between Tony Hawk's demo again and Spider-Man, actually.
Wow.
And just swung around because I remember Danny from NoClip making the best comparison I'd heard to specifically, well, not really just the web swinging, but Spider-Man in general. He described it as a Tony Hawk game, and after playing the Tony Hawk remastered demo, I totally connected the two because they're very similar in the terms of collecting certain things and building combos like when you're skating and web swinging. And I also thought why I'm still of the belief that I've made the best web swinging videos on YouTube is because the vast majority of people that make web swinging videos just aimlessly swing around the city just with no particular direction or idea in mind. They just swing to their heart's content, which is totally fine. But I took that extra step and the majority of my web swing videos where I would specifically find lines to create combos and cool tricks and routes to take for an extended period of time that make it far more interesting to watch. And that's exactly what you do in Tony Hawk most of the time is people, it's one thing to just nail high scores in Tony Hawk, but when you really create endless loops of combos and lines to just set the highest score you possibly can, that's what makes the game the most fun to watch. And that's why I bounced between the two, because in playing that demo, I recalled Danny saying that. I was like, I'm going to jump back into Spider-Man to swing around for a few minutes. And it was like muscle memory all over again, man, because I just, as we know, we all like pretty much fell in love with that game. But I'd played it so much that I jumped back in, and even the combat felt totally second nature to me. Like, I never forgot how to play it. It was so much fun. So that was awesome. That was the extent of my gaming this week, unfortunately. It was just 30 minutes, but they were a hearty, fulfilling 30 minutes. So, but aside from that, just worked. It was a lot of fun. And yeah, all the Batman stuff, like I said, excited me. So unless you didn't do anything else exciting, I guess we can just jump into what we've been playing, even though I just said mine. Got to ask that. But that's what I've been playing. What have you been playing?
Mainly just three-ish things. I'm dabbling some more in Horizon on PC. I believe there was another patch that was put out Friday. I'm not really sure what it did per se. I think I read the patch notes, but it wasn't anything like too crazy. I think they're still working on, you know, performance issues and stuff. I think they're just trying to get the game to actually start for some people still. You know, and I haven't had that issue. I've been able to actually play it, so I don't really think these patches are necessarily for me, but yeah, I played that for probably 30 minutes or an hour this week, and I still, you know, really like it. I'm just really trying to not put all of my free time into that game when I'm trying so hard to finish Persona 5, which is what I put a majority of my time into this week. I think I was able to probably play like 2 or 3 hours this week. And I, you know, had an absolute blast playing that game. Every time I step back into that world and play for at least like 10 or 15 minutes, I just, you know, remember why I love it so much. And I was actually able to completely get through the third palace, send in the calling card, and, you know, I'm ready to fight that boss the next time I hop in. So still really excited to see the new palace and see where like the new confidants go, and definitely check out the new ending in that game. So I'm definitely you know, really hyped to jump back into that. Probably the rest of my night will be dedicated to playing that game after I get some dinner after we finish recording here. But yeah, besides that, I jumped into another game that I have been wanting to get back to at some point, and that is Greedfall. I have no clue why I had the urge to play it, but I don't know if it's because I finished Ghost of Tsushima and I've just been having the urge to jump back into a melee-focused open world game or something like that. But I hopped back into it. I started a new game as a mage, and I have to play that game on the hardest difficulty just for trophy's sake. And that's probably the reason why I quit after my third time playing that game, because it is so ridiculously hard at the beginning that it's just infuriating, because the game is already clunky as it is, which is fine. Like, I still really enjoy Spiders games. Like, as crappy as the Technomancer was, you know, I've spoken about it so many times on this podcast how I still really enjoyed that game. And, you know, I said the same thing about Greedfall when that game, you know, originally first came out and I was actually playing it. I saw my playtime on one of my saves and it was over like 30 hours. So I definitely put in a decent amount of time into it. But yeah, just getting back into it. I don't know if it's playing as like a magic user didn't really grab me as much as, you know, playing as the thief or whatever I was last time, laying down traps, using swords and stuff. But I just, you know, got a little frustrated with the difficulty, because I think the combat, it feels so claustrophobic, especially in this first area. All the fights I get into are in these small rooms or in these small alleys, and you die in like two hits, and there's people with guns and stuff, and you're just constantly having to like dodge around. And like I said, it just feels really claustrophobic. It takes a million hits to kill them. Your allies that are with you die almost instantly, so you're just running around just trying to not get hit while there's like eight guys following you around. And it just got really annoying. And I think on like my third session, I just came to the conclusion that I'm probably never going to finish it, because my backlog is so vast, and I kind of want to finish other games before for me to like actually finish Greedfall. I feel like there would have to be absolutely nothing to play, and I don't see that happening, you know, anytime soon, especially when I have like Royal and Zero Dawn to play still. And I'm sure if I just thought about it long enough, I could come up with several more games. But still think it is a really, really good RPG. It's just I just have other things I need to play first. But I think that's pretty much all I played this week. I almost jumped back into The Last of Us Part 2. I really want to play through that on Grounded. I know, I think the last time I was on here, I said there was no way I was going to do that, but I just really miss that game. And I want to, you know, go through it again on that harder difficulty and just really challenge myself. So I'm going to do that at some point, I think. But, you know, like I said, definitely trying to get through Royal right now. So that is what I've done.
Nice, dude. I don't know if I'm gonna get to Royal or not this year anymore. I may just have to settle with maybe I'll play it one day. As badly as I'd like to play it, I just don't have the time to invest, and I don't want to treat it improperly. I want to have the time to play it extensively in like large chunks at a time, versus just I played 20 minutes of Royal today.
Yeah.
And like a month goes by and I play 20 minutes more. So
yeah, it's
maybe one day.
Like I told you, it's like playing it for 10 to 15 minutes is like pretty much just like, how do I say this? It's like, that's how long it takes for me to like get going in that game.
Right,
to like kind of exactly. Wrap your head around like, all right, what do I want to do today? Like, I'm going to go do this. And you know, if you're only playing it for that amount of time, like you'll never finish anything.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's back to mindless, no objectives, just do something for 20 minute video games like Tony Hawk and Spider-Man. So
yeah, I know it's
maybe
like
Fall Guys,
who knows when, but It's just, like I said, every time, that's Royal is one of the few games that comes to my mind that when I'm playing it, I have that thought of just like, this is so fun. Like, this is just such, I love these characters. I love the combat, just the aesthetics of everything. It just gives you like just a warm, cozy feeling playing that game. I just love it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to play it, but not now, unfortunately. Well, we may as well jump into the news. I don't think we have anything else to talk about. So let's talk DC fandom. We have a few questions related to everything. We can probably answer them as we go. Let's just talk about what we feel like talking about. What do you want to talk about first?
I think I kind of want to get Gotham Knights out of the way. I guess it might end up just being the way that in the order that things were revealed, we can just talk about them like that, because definitely want to save the Batman trailer for last, because we might have a lot to say about that.
All right. Before we get into it, Alexander Salamander wrote in and says, "How diddly do there, fellas? Simple question for you today that you're probably going to be talking about anyways. Who are you going to play as in Gotham Knights?"
Garrett, is it even a Robin? Yeah. Like, no, I mean, it's going to be Robin and Nightwing for me. I mean, I don't know. They all look so cool, but like, I'm a massive Robin fanboy. So I've been like that ever since, you know, the Teen Titans, the first series, not Go, but I've always just really liked Robin since then. So absolutely going to be playing Robin a majority of the time. What about you?
Yeah, like you said, I think they all look pretty cool. I think Batgirl looks pretty cool. Probably if I had to pick one, Nightwing. So it's Dick Grayson is Nightwing. I know it's Batgirl. It's Barbara Gordon in this universe. Correct?
Yeah.
And then Red Hood is Jason Todd.
Yeah.
And this Robin is confirmed to be Damian.
I don't know if it's confirmed, but that makes...
I heard someone else say Tim Drake.
Okay, it might be Tim Drake. I know that Montreal was working on a Damian Wayne Batman game. So maybe that's why I just assumed that was Damian Wayne Batman. Or Damian Wayne Robin.
Yeah, you'd think in Batman's so-called death video, he would be like, "And to my son Damian," versus just, "You all need to do your thing." Yeah. Unless he's that detached and just treats his own son as just an ally. I don't know. But
that's a good point. Do you really think he's not? I kind of think he's dead.
I mean, I doubt it, but
I hope he's dead.
If he is, that's fine.
I hope he's dead. I feel like that's just such a... like that's just such a predictable thing for him to not be dead, because everybody has said that. Every like reaction or everybody's like take on this trailer, they're all like, "Oh, he's not dead." So I'd kind of like for them to stick with it and actually, especially with this being like their own universe, I think it would be cool to have him dead and to see this Robin take the mantle of Batman. And that's kind of like how the game ends, with Batman technically being in the game, but with somebody else taking that mantle, not actually, you know, Bruce Wayne still being alive.
All right. I mean, it doesn't make a difference to me whether he's alive or dead, but, you know, the whole Court of Owls thing, everyone's assuming like, "Oh, they're totally faking his death," or it's just to throw off the Court of Owls or something. There's like a million theories, but
yeah.
I do like that this is not part of the Arkham universe. I think it's cool that Montreal gets to do their own thing. So that's interesting. I'm not totally sold on the whole co-op leveling up RPG type elements in it. I'm not trashing it by any means. I'm totally open to it. Of course, I have every intention to play it, but that's pretty cool, I guess. I like that it's open world. I like the idea that you and I, for example, could ride around on our motorcycles, our bat cycles, whatever we're going to traverse this world in, and go do objectives together in Gotham. That'd be pretty cool. Maybe track down a villain, fight some guys along the way.
Yeah.
I hope this Mr. Freeze fight isn't merely just an RNG type situation where, okay, we're level 14, we can fight Mr. Freeze and just punch him to death at the end. I hope it'd have some interesting mechanics like that of Arkham City that make it an interesting battle.
Yeah.
And I hate when things are whittled down to just... I love things about Destiny, but at the end of the day, you're just shooting something till it dies, and it's not so much about interesting mechanics than it is just like wailing on something till it dies. So that'd be disappointing to me if the majority of boss encounters in particular are just punch it till it dies based on your level. But we've hardly seen anything. This is pre-alpha, as we know. It's looking pretty good for pre-alpha. But yeah, I know we can customize these characters with their gear, with their abilities.
Yeah, like in the demo that we saw, the Robin was wearing like the Red Robin suit. So that really, you know, interested me because if we're speccing out these characters, like are these like armor sets, like gear sets? Are we going to be there is a resource system. I don't know if you noticed, but when in that demo, when Robin took out a guy from behind, this currency went up to the top left hand corner. So I don't know if there's going to be like resources you collect to craft new gear types back at the bell tower or whatever, which give you different cosmetic items and stuff. So you can like completely spec out your character in different ways and stuff. Like, I wonder if there's going to be different melee weapons or whatever. I want to know how far they're going to go with the RPG-ness of this game.
Yeah.
Because I know some people are a little cautious about that, and I am as well, because it looks very Assassin's Creed like, with like the levels above their head and stuff, and I am not the biggest fan of that. If there's like a level 15 guy and like, oh no, I can't stealth kill this random goon because my number isn't in the same realm as his number and stuff, like that stuff really does annoy me. But that's why I kind of need to like reserve my judgment on that until I've seen like to what extent the RPG elements of this game are going to be, you know.
Yeah, I also like that it seems to be a bit more laid back in terms of how dark it is. You'd mentioned this to me before I'd even seen the demo, but it certainly seems like this isn't quite as brutal and as intense as some of the elements, especially in Arkham Knight in particular.
Yeah.
Seems to be a bit more lighthearted and fun.
It can probably,
I'm down for.
Yeah, it can probably get there though, you know, with the quarter vowels being what they are. Like I would be, there probably is going to be some amount of like grittiness or darkness with, you know, that faction or whatever it is being in this game. But I do like how, just in terms of like the characters, how they're kind of bright and they pop, and especially with like just the ride to Mr. Freeze with that beam shooting up in the sky, it kind of gave me Joel Schumacher vibes.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. It looks right out of Batman and Robin from the movie.
Yeah, which I'm fine with. I think it looks cool.
Yeah, I'm down for that too.
I'm digging it.
Especially in contrast to the Batman movie trailer, which we'll talk about.
Yeah. Just
completely drastically different tones, which I like. I like variety like that.
Yeah, for sure. But it's cool that this is only two-player multiplayer. So I did see a lot of people were thinking this was like the Avengers or a DC version of like the Avengers game. But I don't think it's even in the same realm as that. This is just a massive open world game that you can, I guess massive is just me assuming, but an open world game that.
They said there's like 5 districts to explore.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So you got to hope each one is relatively sizable. If each district was the size of Arkham City, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I hope it's more than just, oh, you can go into the rooftops and fight some bad guys. You can go into this alley and fight some more bad guys. I hope there are little clues to discover that lead to missions to complete. I hope you can go inside some of these places, kind of like Penguin in the museum in Arkham City.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like whole arcs within the interior of these Gotham complexes, and more so than just ride your motorcycle around and fight guys in the streets until you go fight a boss somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, even in the demo we saw, they went inside of, you know, a building. So I'm sure that'll definitely be in this. But yeah, just the idea of riding around, like you said, on our motorcycles together, completing missions and like trying to do like dual moves together, whether it be like stealth taking out guys, you know, coordinating that, or just doing fights together, like throwing guys into each other. I just think that sounds like a whole lot of fun.
Yes, it does sound fun. Yeah, it's very different. I do think it's odd that both Montreal and Rocksteady are doing multiplayer-focused DC games. But whatever. So I did immediately want, after seeing this demo, want to play Arkham Asylum again. I've been thinking about replaying Arkham Asylum for a while. Mm. I don't know when I'm going to get to that, but I'm just kind of in the mood to play very, very linear Batman experience again.
I hear you.
So although each game obviously improved upon that one, I'm just in the mood for it. You know what I also want to play again is Bioshock. Just the Act Man put out a really in-depth analysis of Bioshock. I haven't seen the whole video. I've only seen the first 15 minutes or so. But even just the first 10 minutes of him going on and on about that game just reminded me how much I love it. And I'd love to play that again. So,
yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, but we'll see. I'm not going to, like we said, we've hardly seen anything as pre-alpha, and the ideas certainly have a lot of potential, so we'll just have to wait and see more.
For sure.
What else we got here? Sorry, I'm very, very distracted, and I'm trying to remain focused.
Suicide Squad?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Big Colt says, wait, is this Suicide Squad related? Yeah, No one mentioned Suicide Squad, so
wow.
What are your thoughts?
I mean, the trailer looks cool. It's finally good to see the Rocksteady Splash logo come up before something. That was nice to see. Mm-hmm. But I thought each of the characters looked cool. I'm excited that it's a continuation of the Arkhamverse. I think the premise is cool with it being, you know, 4-player multiplayer, but you know, if it's single player, you can just jump between the 4 characters. And I really hope that they do things to differentiate these characters more so than in the Arkham games. Whereas, in Arkham Knight, you could play as multiple characters, but for the most part, you know, they felt kind of the same. So I think that with these characters being so different from one another, they could really incorporate different gameplay elements to really, you know, allow them to play differently. So I'm excited to see how they do that. I think I read that there were going to be like third person shooter elements to it as well, which I think is interesting. I'm very interested to see how Deadshot is going to be played, where that in the entire point of his character is he never
that
misses.
He can't miss.
Yeah. So like, is just an attack always going to hit with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see how that works. But I feel like I'm a little more positive on this game than some of the takes I've seen online. I think a lot of people are just really bummed about it having multiplayer. I really think Avengers has really upset people enough to where they just don't want any other games to like kind of be like that. And I completely understand that, but I don't believe this is going to be like a games as a service game. I just think there's going to be a multiplayer element to it in an open world game. They've said that they want Metropolis to be like a fifth character in this game. So, you know, just based on seeing, you know, how Gotham was represented in the other Arkham games, I, you know, expect this to be a beautiful world to explore as well. And just, you know, based on Rocksteady's pedigree, I really don't have any reason to doubt them. And if they feel like that, you know, multiplayer is important enough to make it one of the main reasons behind this game, I have to, you know, trust them at this point, because they just put out one of the best, you know, trilogies in gaming for the most part, at least in my opinion. So I'm just kind of along for the ride with whatever they feel like they would need to do or want to do, you know?
Yeah. I'm also open to it as well, because it is Rocksteady. If it was just some, I mean, it's not even fair to say this about Crystal Dynamics, but if it was like a developer that's taking a property they have not dealt with before and in a completely new genre and experience, I'd be a little more concerned. But as you said, with their track record, I have nothing but trust for them. It's certainly far outside the box of what I had expected to see from them. But at the same time, it is DC related. Continuation is cool. And I just hope it is much better than what I've played of Avengers. And again, we don't know what the full game will be like, so it's not fair to totally judge that either. But it has not been a great first impression, so I can only hope that come 2022.
If you would have told me a year ago that, like, hey, Preston, the Avengers open beta is this particular weekend, and you're not even going to download it, I would have been like, nah, you're crazy, dude. There's no way. But here I am, not having downloaded it, and I could literally, I couldn't care less about it.
Oh, you're talking about Avengers?
Yes.
Yeah, same. I don't know what the future of that game holds. Here's the good thing is that any game that tries to even remotely tackle that, for example, Gotham Knights may have elements of Avengers, and so might Suicide Squad, but whatever Avengers totally does horribly, both those studios can learn from their example and not do those things.
I don't think either of these games, I mean, the Avengers game is set up as like missions that you are supposed to grind and like get gear. Right. And like it's supposed to be like this games as a service Destiny like game. Whereas I do not think at all Gotham Knights or Suicide Squad are like that. I think there's just a multiplayer mode in it, to where you can, you know, there's multiple characters, and you know, you and your friend can take control of each of them and play around. I don't think there's going to be like raids or well, maybe in Gotham Knights it might have some things like that, just because it looks like it's more RPG focused. And granted, we don't know if Suicide Squad is either, but I don't know. I just think what I'm trying to say is I don't think these games are going to really be anything even like Avengers, besides them being superhero games.
Yeah. I can't say I'm excited yet, because it's 2 years out, roughly. And all we got was a cinematic trailer, which it was a cool trailer, but those kinds of trailers rarely ever get me excited. So we'll just have to wait and see. It's definitely further out than I was expecting. Because I've been under the what have they been doing since, was it 2015 Arkham Knight came out?
It's been 7 years.
Man. So it'll been 9 years since their last game by the time this comes out?
Yeah. I mean, you have to assume they were working on something else, because, you know, the I don't know if it's been confirmed, but I know we've talked about it a lot, is that originally Montreal was working on a Suicide Squad game, and I think they thought it had so much potential that they ended up giving it to Rocksteady. So who knows what assets they took from Montreal, or if they just started completely over with just the concept in mind. Like they might have been working on something else the entire time, kind of like how we saw with Sucker Punch was, you know, working on that other game, and, you know, Ghost of Tsushima, even though it had been like a really freaking long time, you know, that they weren't necessarily working on Tsushima that entire time, you know?
Yeah. I wonder if some of the elements that will exist in Gotham Knights were formerly what they were doing with their Suicide Squad game, if that is a true story.
I mean, that would make sense why there's a multiplayer element in Gotham Knights, because they probably kind of had that idea and just wanted to do something with it.
Yeah, I wonder if this will be a one-off. I know I'm thinking way ahead, if it'll be a one-off for Montreal, or if it'll be the start of just a whole series of those types of games, or this will be the launching pad for their own take on the DC, like, Gotham universe going forward.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see how it goes. I think it would be really cool to have two studios tackling just DC games, just so we can get something every, you know, 2-3-ish years, and we're not just, you know, waiting on Rocksteady to put out their games, you know, because, you know, they take a lot of time to make their games.
I could see that being WB's goal as well, because I can't really think of another WB property outside of the Lego games, really. I don't know if that's purely WB, but any other IP that they really
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, aside from that, in DC, like, what else they really put out that
I think
drives numbers?
They publish The Witcher?
I think you're right about that. No, wait.
Yeah.
Maybe it is.
Is
it WB?
I'm pretty sure.
Does that mean they're doing Cyberpunk?
I don't know.
I haven't seen any WB logos associated with Cyberpunk so far.
I know. Okay, CD Projekt Red published The Witcher 3. Witcher 2 publisher. I swear when I boot up, which when I booted up The Witcher 2, I saw a WB thing. I might be crazy. Yeah, Retail Verbish published by Atari for the original PC version and Warner Brothers. Okay, I'm not completely crazy. Warner Brothers has touched The Witcher at some point, but I think CD Projekt Red is just publishing it themselves at this point now. So yes, my bad. Garrett.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. You ready to...
Sorry, it's all work related. It's like it's stuff like questions I have to answer immediately, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, that's fine. Then I guess I will take the reins here. After that, besides the Batman universe stuff, did anything else really stick out to you at this DC thing? I know we saw a trailer for Wonder Woman. We saw something for Black Adam. We saw something for...
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, that movie, which I'm so confused about that movie. I knew they were making another one, but seeing what's her face in it? Margot Robbie, like is this a complete reboot?
Pretty much. I think it's a soft reboot.
Okay. So I assumed that was the case, but that kind of confused me a little bit. And then especially with there being two Batmans now with the Flash trailer. I think there was a Flash trailer. I remember reading that there was Ben Affleck is actually going to be in the Flash as Batman, and then like the Batman's going on. So it's just like that and the Suicide Squad. I'm just like, I'm so confused what's happening. Like I don't really care necessarily because I think there's just multiple universes going around, and that's just what we're going to have to just know at this point is that I'm thinking mainly for like my parents and people like that. They're going to be like, what in the world is going on?
Right.
Like I even when the Batman trailer released last night, I showed my parents, you know, they really like Batman, and they were just like, now like where's Ben Affleck, or like what's going on? I'm like, no, it's a reboot. And they're like, oh well, why do they keep rebooting stuff? I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. Who cares? So yeah, those things definitely looked cool to me, everything I said, but definitely the things that stuck with me the most were these Batman universe type announcements. So I guess that leads us into the Batman, which pretty much everybody, there's a general consensus here on the internet that the trailer was phenomenal. People are pumped out of their minds for this. I saw it when it was leaked about an hour before the original release, and even seeing it in just like a super grainy format, I just was pumped out of my mind. It completely exceeded the expectations that I had for this. Like I knew that Robert Pattinson would pull it off and be a good Batman, but you know, just seeing this trailer just like reaffirmed that, and it was just like, yes, that it looks so cool. Him in the suit looks so cool. Him as just Bruce Wayne just looks so cool. That how Gotham just looks so cool. It's just so nasty looking. I love the look of the Riddler. Everything in this trailer just completely knocked it out of the park for me.
Yeah, likewise. One question from Big Colt before we continue, so don't forget about it. He says, you got to pick one other cast member from any Twilight movie to play a character in the new Batman or eventual sequel. Who you got? Also, have you seen Pattinson in Good Time or The Lighthouse? What were your thoughts? I have seen both. I've seen that first half of Good Time, and I've seen all of The Lighthouse, and Pattinson. Even in Twilight, I like Pattinson, but he really blew my mind in a movie called Remember Me, which came out shortly after his Twilight run. And that kind of really opened my eyes to how talented he was, and of course, in Good Time. He's been in a lot of stuff since then, a lot of indie movies and smaller budget films, but I thought he was amazing in Lighthouse as well. So I going into Batman, I think Zach and I had even mentioned years ago that he'd potentially make a really cool Batman. And it's kind of amazing it's worked out that way. And of course, now that we have the trailer, it looks like it is definitely working out, although they've only shot roughly 25 to 30% of the movie. this trailer, and of course we'll go into all the details. I want to talk about all the cool stuff in it, but it just immediately reminded me of how sad it is they have to move to sound stages, because I knew Glassglow, as soon as I heard they were filming there, would look amazing. You can see that on camera. Those are all practical. I'm sure some of them are sets as well, but all those practical locations they were shooting in just look incredible. And I hope they can emulate that on sound stages. At the very least, build really amazing sets that look similar to where they were shooting. Like you said, it just looks grimy and nasty. So, yeah, I'm trying to think of like the details that stood out to me. I like, I think everyone's been talking about this too, but the first thing that like really grabbed me as soon as I finished watching the trailer was that they actually showed that he has the eye makeup on under the mask. And all the other movies have always tried to hide the fact that he has that. I think the most blatant version of that is in Batman Returns, when Batman literally rips his rubber mask off and just the makeup disappears from his eyes. Actually, before he rips it off, it cuts back to him. You can see that the makeup's missing underneath the mask, and he rips it off like it was never there, which is hilarious. But I like that they keep this and they have that look of Pattinson at the end where he clearly looks unhinged a bit. I've always said I like the idea of Batman just being another psychopath in Gotham, like trying to make a difference, but his attempts are totally futile because the city's so corrupt and vile that it's totally pointless. But he's just another madman who just isn't killing people or really committing any crimes, but he's just not really making a difference. So it's just a cyclical, endless, relentless loop of chaos and death in that city. And he just looks like totally lost and broken, although he's a master detective, can clearly kick ass. Like, he destroys that guy at the end of the trailer.
Oh, yeah.
He's just totally unhinged, which I think is really cool. So I think they Matt Reeves says this is roughly year two of Batman's career. I think it's cool that he has a relationship established with Gordon. And you can tell that when Batman enters into this crime scene, I think it's the death of the mayor, if I'm not mistaken, after all these trailer analysis videos I've watched. Like that guy duct taped up at the beginning is the dead mayor, I think. And Batman's walking through that hallway and all those cops are looking at him like, why are you here? It sucks that you're here. And I like how he strolls in there and they just kind of let him do his thing, because clearly he is this. So this is like the detective version of Batman we're finally getting on screen. And I like that other shot in the trailer where it looks like he has some sort of altercation with the cops and has to escape GCPD. It looks like he's in GCPD when he's like grappling up that stairwell. And I'm assuming that Riddler frames him or something with a riddle. I don't know what happens, but it looks like Riddler's pretty intense as well. I've heard some people say that Hush might be in the movie too, but I, as far as I'm aware, I know Penguin's in it. Did you know Colin Farrell is the Penguin in this movie?
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah, I did not recognize him at all. He looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's what else stood out to me? The Batcave looks pretty cool. I think this Bruce Wayne, I mean, it could have just been the one scene where he looks really upset and kind of unkept, but I like that he has longer hair and he even looks kind of depressed when he's outside the costume too.
He looks like Leon Kennedy in Resident Evil 2 remake with his hair swooped to the side. When I saw somebody post those two pictures, I was like, holy crap, he's got to play Leon in a Resident Evil movie.
Right. And I'm sure he'll have like the whole, because as everyone, you know, says that Batman is who he is and Bruce Wayne's actually the costume, I'm sure he'll put on the charm for various things depending on what he has to do. But I'm assuming that the Wayne family, this will be a version of the Wayne family where they were also part of the corruption, I think.
Yeah.
And Court of Owls originally. I have the original, like the first issue of Court of Owls. I can't remember everything that happens in it, but I think in that run and a couple other different runs that Thomas Wayne was part of the corruption as well, and he really wasn't a good guy at all.
Wasn't that the Telltale series, how it was?
I think that was another iteration that did the same thing.
Yeah.
I've always liked that as well, where Batman is, you know, fighting to defend the streets because he doesn't want that crime repeated to others, and it's almost like he's trying to fill that void of just fighting criminals will help him feel better, but it just never changes.
Yeah.
And I like the idea to think that he's thinking he's been doing this valiant thing fighting all these criminals, when in reality his father was probably worse than most of the guys he beats up in alleyways. So I'm assuming that the Joker kind of revealed, not the Joker, Riddler, you know, like draws him into this and reveals to him like your own parents or father or whoever were a part of this.
Yeah.
So Yeah, it looks so cool. I think Zoe Kravitz's Catwoman looks cool. I think Matt Reeves also shared that she isn't fully Catwoman yet. But you kind of see that development throughout the movie. Yeah, it looks so cool. Batmobile looks sick. And of course, when he beats up that guy, I love just how, just the one shot too, the one frame of him just beating down that guy.
I'm an absolute sucker for one shot fight scenes. Yeah. So I want as many of those as the movie can give me.
Yeah, that's something the Nolan films are drastically lacking, where very well choreographed, well shot fight scenes Batman, are very shaky cam.
Batman Begin was just like, who knows?
You have no idea what's happening.
Who even knows what happens in that movie?
Yeah, exactly. So I'd love some choreographed Book of Eli wide angle fight scenes in this movie if we can get them. But I'm so incredibly excited. It's supposedly coming October of next year, which isn't extremely far away. I think it was originally slated for summer of next year, but of course it was delayed because of COVID and everything. So we can only hope that the latter 70% or so of this movie looks as great as the first 30%, because I'm super hyped.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Oh, yeah.
Cool, 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 man. Anything else you want to bring up from the DC fandom?
I feel like there's one thing I was leaving out. What was it? The only thing I was going to say about the Flash and the multiverse stuff is that supposedly he spends the majority of the movie with Michael Keaton's 1989 Batman. And you can see that in the concept art they revealed. And then Affleck's, this is their way of saying goodbye to Affleck's Batman, is that the Flash supposedly completely obliterates the DC universe as we know it with the current Justice League. But it's also confusing because they're re-releasing Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League.
Yeah, that is a big thing that I almost completely forgot about.
I'm definitely going to watch it, but I'm not totally stoked about it. And I know there are many fans that are excited to see it. But depending on the success of that, it may just be the hype factor of, oh, we're finally getting what we've been asking for so long, that it could be a false type of reception to that, where everyone watches it and like, yes, this is, like, even if it isn't that good, people can be like, we got what we asked for. And DC may pivot and try to keep all those actors on board. I don't know. I know Aquaman has a planned sequel, supposedly. I think Wonder Woman's sequel looks pretty cool. I really like the first Wonder Woman.
Yeah, same.
So I think the second one looks pretty cool too. So, but yeah, supposedly Ben Affleck is going away after this Flash movie. So that's cool. He kind of gets a goodbye.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to watching the Snyder Cut. I thought the trailer was pretty cool. But I guess that'll do it for DC fandom.
Yep. A lot of that stuff. I mean, like, the two games, of course, have major potential, and I am most excited for that movie, man. Cannot wait.
For sure.
All right. You want to talk about Black Myth?
Yeah, we can talk about that for a little bit.
Black Myth Wukong. For those that don't know, I was totally unaware of what this was until I looked into it, but it is being developed by a Chinese game studio called Game Science. Founded by a former group of Tencent employees, the team was inspired to pursue a project of the size when they saw how successful AAA games on Steam were among gamers in China. So that gameplay demo, totally uncut, no commentary, just pure gameplay. How'd you feel about it?
I think it looks really cool, and that is what a lot of people think, because this trailer kind of came out of nowhere and just blew up earlier this week, to where I was just seeing it all over Twitter. It just, you know, it looks really cool, especially I think like 13 or 18 guys made this, you know, small indie studio. This is like the, you know, the first stuff we've seen from it. And I believe they even commented on the amount of attention that they've gotten as well a few days ago. And of course they were, you know, really excited about it, but they the guy in his response was talking about issues that were in this video, like frame rate drops and things like that. So he was very flattered by all of this, but I think just seeing how many people saw this just, you know, is going to make his team want to, you know, make it, you know, even better, which obviously they were going to do before, but you know, it, you know, probably is a very good feeling working on something for as long as they have, and, you know, putting a lot of work into it and just seeing people just like freaking out over it. It probably will just get, you know, kind of give you a kick in the rear to step it up even more. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Who knows when this is coming out? I know he said that, you know, there is no release date. They're going to just finish it. And with it being that small of a team, it is probably going to take a while, but definitely our first look at this game is a really cool one. I'm excited to see, you know, what comes of this game, how it ends up looking and how it ends up playing. So
absolutely. Kind of unique, you know, flying around as a beetle between certain sections.
Yeah.
Very Soulsborne inspired combat, it seems, but I'm on board for that. I love that stuff. Which just continually reminds me I owe it to myself to really hunker down and try to beat Sekiro, because I really appreciate what that game is in comparison to both Bloodborne and Dark Souls.
For sure.
So, but yeah, this looks very cool. I love the art direction. I know nothing about that lore. I know you had mentioned it as well, that it's supposedly inspired Dragon Ball Z originally.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to look into it, because I mean, that world, just the brief demo we got, was very inviting. Like, I wanted to know more about it immediately.
Yeah.
So I also am very excited to see what comes of it.
For sure.
Dude, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War confirmed. We got the trailer. No gameplay yet, but so far from what you've seen, a very, very haunting trailer too, I might add. It's very reminiscent of the current world we're living in. Mm-hmm. Which is kind of eerie. And that's a real video as well they spliced into the trailer. So how are you feeling about it so far? What do you think?
I'm excited. I'm always a fan of the Call of Duty campaigns. In fact, I completely forgot to say in what I was playing, but I actually played through a few missions of the Modern Warfare 2 remastered on PS4. You know, just had a lot of fun. I was going to play one before I went to sleep, and I ended up playing through like four or five. You know, they're just so short, you can just fly through them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm always down for a new COD campaign. I think the setting sets it up, just the espionage vibes that I'm getting. I think there can be just, you know, some really cool set piece moments or cool stealth sections and stuff. So I'm excited to see what they could do, you know, with that, you know, setting with the Russians, you know, double agents and, you know, all that stuff. So I'm excited to see what they do with the story and how that can impact the actual missions in the game. I think the key art looks awesome. I think it definitely differentiates itself from all the other Call of Duty key art, where it's just, you know, guys standing against a black background holding a gun.
You know, I haven't even seen the key art.
Oh yeah, it's awesome. It's like split down the middle of like a Russian guy and an American soldier, and it's white. It just pops. It looks just so different than any other Call of Duty. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look this up real quick. Yeah, I do see that. That looks sick.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking forward to see this, reveal event, on the 26th. And, yeah, I'm not like insanely pumped. Like I said, I always am mildly excited every October, November, knowing that I can play through a popcorn action flick movie deal. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, I feel the exact same. I've never not anticipated Call of Duty. I've never really lost the only Call of Duty I ever truly lost my mind out of excitement for is Modern Warfare 2, and I know it was kind of the same for you at the time.
Oh yeah.
Ever since then, I've never just been hyped through the roof, but I always anticipate the next Call of Duty because they're just some of the best shooting mechanics of all time, and it's just always fun to play through an action-packed campaign. So excited for that as well, and I really, really love what Infinity War did with Modern Warfare, so it's going to be interesting to, and I hate playing the comparison game, but you kind of have to when it's two developers tackling the same franchise. So it's going to be interesting to see how I react to this versus what I really felt like was a really massive leap for Call of Duty with Infinity Ward last year. So a lot more to see, of course. I'm sure we're going to talk about more of it on beyond the 26th, and especially when they finally show off multiplayer. So I'm excited to see more, man. I love me some COD, brah.
Same here.
Dude, you want to lead the the front on how games will utilize a DualSense? Because the way you described it to me got me pretty stoked.
Yeah, for sure. So I think Sony's blog put out a release earlier this week. It was either them or I saw it on IGN. But anyways, let me pull that up really quick. Yeah. Wow. How do you open up a... There we go. My bad. All right. This is by Matt Perslow over on IGN. I'm not going to read the entire article. I'm just going to pick out a few things, but it's pretty much goes into detail how some developers are going to be using the haptic feedback and the triggers from the DualSense. And the two that really stuck out to me were how it was going to be used in Miles Morales and Deathloop. So the feedback will actually tell you where, like almost like your Spidey sense, where you're going to be attacked from, which sounds just wild. Like I try to envision how that's even going to feel like on your hands, you know, like if that's, it sounds like a really good idea. I'm just really interested to see how it's going to actually, how useful it's going to be, or if it's just going to be kind of like just a stupid gimmick that we're going to want to turn off as soon as, you know, it happens for a while. I don't know, but just The premise alone sounds really freaking cool. And then there's also a Venom punch that you can, if you hold down square, you actually feel this like lightning build up in the left side of the controller. And when you release it, it unleashes over to the right side of the controller, which, you know, sounds really freaking cool. And then Deathloop, there's going to be a gun jamming mechanic where the triggers will physically not even let you pull them if a gun is jammed.
I love that so much.
I know. That's so cool. I do want to know to what extent they're going to be jammed. Like, I wonder if you can, like, break the controller.
Like a glitch happens and it just never becomes unjammed.
Yeah, I saw a bunch of comments saying, like, how EA is going to lock your controller up unless you pay money to keep going. But I think that there are just so many cool things that you can do, especially with like racing games, dude, with like anti-lock brakes and stuff. I believe Gran Turismo 7 is going to do something like that. Especially in games like Forbidden West, when it comes to like bow tension, when you pull down, I'm really pumped about these triggers, because originally I thought that they would probably just be like the Xbox One triggers where there's just like rumble in them or whatever, but knowing that there's actually going to be resistance on it, and depending on like what you're doing, that, you know, that can affect that resistance to the point where you can't even move the trigger, like I think that is just super cool and can be like really immersive in a lot of games. Like, imagine like the next God of War, like when you throw your axe and it comes back to your hand, like the haptic feedback of catching the axe again or something like that. Like,
especially if it reacts to either side of the controller versus which hand you catch it with.
Yeah, for sure.
I can see some people complaining that, you know, like, especially if someone who has like a physical disability in their fingers, or like, say, like I'm pulling back on this bowstring in Horizon, and it adds resistance where it's harder to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
But it hurts me to do that over and over and over again or something. I could see someone being upset about that. But on the idea on paper sounds really, really cool. So I'm excited to see how developers tackle that too.
Yeah. And it's, I think it kind of goes in with the report that was last week where they said that you can't play PS5 games with a DualShock 4. Mm-hmm. And this makes, you know, perfect sense why they want these developers to take advantage of the technology in this controller. And I really hope that this sticks, because even like with the Vita, with the back touchpad, there's like, oh, look at all this stuff you can do. And then, you know, by like the first year of it being out, nobody's using it anymore. Right. So I really hope this is something that kind of like, you know, sticks around. I think the touchpad, for the most part, people were still using it. Like, I think Ghost of Tsushima used it really well. Last of Us Part 2 used it well. You know, pretty much the Sony first party games used it well. So hopefully, you know, third party developers can start taking advantage of these features as well. So
Yeah.
And I think in that entire article, it goes into like Tokyo Ghostwire, Demon's Souls, like a lot other games, and you can kind of read what those developers think about it. But yeah, I'm excited to you know, I'm excited in the just to get the PS5 in the first place, but I'm really excited to have like a different sensation or being able to get immersed in these games even more so than just, you know, using a regular controller. So
yeah, definitely. I'm sure we'll also very quickly determine what does and does not work well for players once millions of people get these controllers into their hands and experience some of these newfound mechanics and immersive features. But I'm excited to work out the kinks there because I don't think I've ever really experienced any bad touchpad inclusions. But
no,
you know, with all these rumble effects and haptic feedback triggers and everything, I'm excited to see what does and does not work as well.
Yeah,
it's kind of exciting. So yeah, all those details that you shared with me earlier as well sounds so cool.
Yeah, definitely sounds awesome. I do want to bring up two things that don't really have to talk about them. I just kind of want to throw out there, but you know, Deathloop was delayed this week, which is a bummer. I believe it was supposed to be a launch title, which I know that the PS5 is going to have some sort of console exclusivity deal. They have one with Bethesda for this game and Tokyo Ghostwire. So that would, you know, that would have been a cool launch title for PS5. So that's a bummer that they're delaying it. And I love Arcane as well. So definitely a bummer that we're going to have to wait longer to get that game. But on the potential positive side of news is the Demon's Souls remake was rated over in Korea, which leads people to believe that that game is, you know, could potentially be coming sooner than we thought, you know, maybe even like a launch title alongside Miles Morales. So hopefully that is the case, because that would be a really freaking cool set of launch lineup. Just having, you know, the Demon's Souls and Miles Morales remake, just two, you know, vastly different games, you know, to be able to play all, you know, alongside the third party stuff. But
yeah,
hopefully that is the case. Sure. We should be seeing seeing something from Sony at some point. It's mind blowing to me that we still don't have a price.
I think it's inevitable. Someone has to announce their price in September.
We're like 8 days from September. Mm-hmm. And these consoles are coming out in like November, probably.
Dude, you know it's all just a game they're playing right now. Yeah. To see who announces.
And Sony has even clarified again this week that they are not pushing this release date. This console is coming out this year.
Yeah.
So it's just,
and I don't get why they're so hesitant either. I mean, I know it's all a marketing ploy, but at the end of the day, dude, people that have had a journey with PlayStation 4 and see even like Miles Morales alone launching in the PS5. I mean, people are going to buy this thing. I don't think the price, I mean, there's a fine line between just an astronomically high asking price and something that truly is affordable, even if it is a little pricey. But if this thing is 600 plus, I mean, that's definitely a crap ton of money, but hopefully they can get away with 500, but even at 600, I think that's reasonable. Just based on specs and everything we've heard about it so far. But even, I mean, Xbox Series X could potentially be $100 to $200 cheaper. At the end of the day, like, it's just me. I mean, I don't really get hung up on that kind of stuff because I know what I want from PlayStation, and everything I want on Xbox I can play on PC anyway. So
yeah.
We'll see. And I can understand when people are purely console gamers why they could really take prices more seriously and actually be concerned about that. But ever since we made the leap to PC and everything being compatible from Xbox on Windows, it's made that choice far less stressful for me.
I gotcha. Now I'm just stressed out about the new graphics cards coming out this year that are going to cost like $1,500 for the top one.
Right. I have no idea when I'm gonna update my graphics card. Maybe one day. let's see. I'm not even going to read this article. Halo devs refute notion that TV show is a distraction to Infinite Development. Also read, it's included in this article that they've outsourced a lot of this development to third-party development studios, which What?
I mean,
like, I know it's
I did not know this, but I listened to a podcast about this, which that is a common thing. Is that?
Yeah, I'm aware of that, but apparently this is on a larger scale than usual.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't even know what to think about Infinite anymore, dude. It's like, I don't even care until they just put something out, because I just keep hearing all these conflicting stories and all these different reasons as to why the demo was the way it was, and everyone's pointing fingers at this point.
Yeah.
So
I saw a rumor going around that they were going to drop the Xbox One SKU, and then Jason Schreier commented at it saying that, like, he's full of it and that's not true and stuff. And I feel like that's the only announcement that would make me pumped at this point, is if they just said that they're purely making this game for Series X and PC. But yeah, it's just, I'm sure even more stuff is going to come out in the following weeks, but it kind of just is what it is to me, you know, right now. I just, when it comes out, I'll see what it is, but there's no reason for me to get hyped anymore about this game until we actually see any progression they've made, or just see, you know, what it is.
Yeah. So at this point, they just need to hunker down and do their thing. I'm not even worried about the release date anymore. I just hope it's a great game when it comes out.
Yeah. Same.
And I would have played the very lackluster presentation version of the game. I would have played it this year if it had come out and been basically that, but I would much rather it be very strong out the gate versus developing it over time, which 343 has done. They did heavily with Halo 5, but many developers of this past generation took that route where a game would come out not totally broken, but have many issues that take a year or more to solve. Kind of over that. So, and I know there's that confliction of, you know, like, games clearly cost millions of dollars to make, years to develop, and I think it was either a prompt or an idea of someone. I think it was Jason Schreier just making like an offhand comment of a game should be shorter or something, and the discussion came up of developing games faster that are less demanding to develop can still be great games. And I think we've had examples of that in certain indie titles, and even I can't think of anything off the top of my head currently, but it's possible to develop a really kick-ass game and not have it be the most graphically impressive thing you've ever seen in your life. So, and I know it doesn't always just come down to graphics being like the reason games take so long to develop, but that is a big part of these next-gen machines, is wanting games to look as gorgeous as possible. So, if there's a way to develop games that don't force you to outsource to multiple companies and develop it for 7+ years, that'd be cool as well.
Yeah.
But we shall see. Ghost of Tsushima Legends. I know this is co-op. That's all I know. I haven't even read about it. I know this is kind of old news, but it definitely excites me. Just that alone, that headline, co-op Ghost of Tsushima.
Not only is it co-op, but it can be up to 4 players as well.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, it's let me pull up the article here. I know that it takes place with more like the mythical elements of Japanese mythology. I believe there's 4 different characters that you can play as that I think, you know, emphasize one particular combat style. Yeah, there with 4 players, you'll be able to take on wave-based survival missions, fighting groups the toughest enemies Tsushima has to offer, including new Oni enemies with supernatural abilities. I believe there are story missions as well that are with 2 players in the Ghost of Tsushima's Legends. You'll be able to play a series of co-op story missions that escalate in difficulty, building on the foundation of combat from the single player campaign, but with new magical twists that often require careful synchronization with your partner. These 4 different characters are the samurai, hunter, ronin, or assassin. They all have unique advantages and abilities that will be revealed later. Yeah. That's pretty much what we have thus far. Sounds freaking awesome. I really want to go back to that world, and I really hope that this scratches that itch. And just like with Batman, this sounds really cool for me and you to just hop on and go through some missions together, taking out some demon dudes, you know?
Yeah, I'm down for that. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's just a free update too. Like, that's just really cool.
It's very cool. I'm also excited to see what Naughty Dog does with multiplayer in Last of Us.
Yes.
I still need to finish Tsushima, but I'd also love to revisit Last of Us for multiplayer as well.
Absolutely.
So I am pretty stoked, dude.
Dude, what
would be a cool update if...
What if... What were you going to say? I was just thinking of the DualSense with The Last of Us. Like, what if choking somebody was with a trigger instead of pushing square, and you, like, literally have to push down a trigger that is resisting you to, like, choke them out? How cool would that be?
That would be pretty cool.
Like, kind of, like, fluctuating back and forth as you're, like, trying to fully squeeze it down. That'd be so sick.
That would. I bet we're going to experience that just based on what that article says.
Yeah. But anywho.
I think it'd be cool if... I know it's a popular thing these days to have render modes added to games after they've been released, like with Doom and, of course, with Last of Us. I think it'd be cool if all the filters that are in the photo mode you could use...
While you're playing?
To play Tsushima in.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Like, I feel like playing in like the Vivid mode or the Autumn mode or something would be kind of cool.
For sure.
So I like the Kurosawa mode too, but it'd be cool to have all those options.
I didn't turn that on one time when I played.
I did it a couple of times just out of curiosity, and it actually removes all of the
HUD.
Well, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a HUD and like warning signs and everything. So it's definitely more challenging in that sense. You can't necessarily see what type of attack someone's coming at you with.
Yeah.
You just kind of have to guess.
I wish there was like a trophy for playing on that. With like a harder difficulty or something.
Yeah, play on lethal and Kurosawa from beginning to end.
Yeah, I don't think I said that, but yeah, I played through the entire game on lethal for the most part. I know it came out post-launch, but I had hardly played it until that came out, but I really enjoyed that game on lethal. I loved being able to take out guys with like one or two hits and also... being able to take one or two hits and with the fast load times, just be able to jump right back in and try it again.
Yeah,
was a big fan of that. Man, some of those duels though, holy crap. The final duel, like the final boss of the game, took me like probably 40 times to beat just because of how intense lethal was. But yeah, definitely liked it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I go back and forth between lethal. I like, you know, especially if you use your powerful attacks, like the lightning strike or that chain attack you can do.
Yeah.
You can truly kill them all in one hit and then throw out your,
kunai.
Keep forgetting the kunai.
Yeah.
I haven't played the game in 2 weeks. You can throw those out and it almost instantly kills them.
Dude, that charm impact, where you can throw two additional kunai.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was never took that thing off.
Pretty deadly.
Oh yeah.
Well, Preston, that brings us to Ask IRG, my friend. Ask IRG is the part of the show where we answer your questions submitted through any of our socials at It's Obvious Gaming in the Ask IRG section of our Discord channel or email to us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com and always include the hashtag Ask IRG if you want your question read live on the show. First one comes from Colibai. It says, salutations, gentlefolk from the UK. I've been listening for years now since late 2016, or was it early 2017? I have a very recently gotten game. I've very recently gotten around to finishing Final Fantasy VII Remake and feels that the game gave me were unfounded and has made me super excited for the next game. Side note before we continue, Coley, thank you so much for listening all these years, my friend. And thanks for writing in. He says, my question to you is, what game has hit you in the feels that took you by surprise? Keep up the great work. I've loved you all from the hard work and great chemistry you have. Love and peace, boys. P.S. I've just purchased Ghost of Tsushima based on your constant recommendation, and I'm super pumped. You're in for a treat, my friend. And I know Preston and I both, not as much for me, but Preston definitely was hit in the feels by Final Fantasy
VII. I love that game.
I felt it in certain moments, but I also really enjoyed it. But I'll let Preston go first on this one.
I am completely with you. I'm insanely excited for the next game. I'm insanely excited to replay this game, hopefully with a PS5 update that can iron out some of the technical limitations that were with this game, or at least PC. I should say that I'm excited for the PC release. I don't know. After the whole Horizon debacle, I have to keep my expectations for console to PC ports down now, because I guess you can't just assume that they'll be perfect. But anyways, yes, very excited for that. And was there even a question? Oh, what was the game that hit you in the feels simply by surprise? Oh man, probably Red Dead, because just going into that game, I just wasn't expecting to cry, and that the ending of the first Red Dead really got me out of nowhere. So probably that. For the most part, like when I was playing The Last of Us, like I was prepared for that game to destroy me. So, yeah, probably Red Dead's the biggest surprise.
Games that hit me in the feels. The two biggest ones for me are the ending of Kingdom Hearts 2 and the ending of Halo 3. I didn't cry in the end of Halo 3. I just thought it was beautiful. Kingdom Hearts 2, I definitely felt the burn. What's something else that really got me? I feel like it wasn't that long ago. I have a horrible memory sometimes. You'd think something that really emotionally impacted me, I'd immediately recall.
I mean, but I could say Final Fantasy VII as well. That game did not make me sad. It just made me
feel really happy.
There are so many amazing character moments in that game. Mm-hmm. And I was not expecting that going into it.
Yeah. I cry more in movies typically than video games. Not that there haven't been really impactful emotional stories in games, but yeah, I can't really think of anything else aside from Kingdom Hearts 2 and Halo 3 for me.
Well, cool. I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry, you lagged for a second.
Oh, my bad. But yeah, I hope you enjoy Ghost of Tsushima. I have no doubt that likewise. You probably will.
Yeah, it is a cool game, brother. Not a single speedster, Sam Harris writes in and says, "Hello, you magnificent gaming overlords. It's been a while since I wrote in. My life is going really great right now. I'm down to 235 in weight, only 15 more to go before I can join the Air Force." Sam Harris, that is a huge milestone, my friend. Congrats, and I am so stoked for you. Very inspiring, too, when you really set your mind and heart to something, you can conquer it. You are so close.
Absolutely.
So, that's awesome, man.
You got it, man.
He says, "And probably the most unexpected life change, I have a girlfriend for the first time in my life, LOL. I was in a rough place a few years ago, but after making life changes and embracing a support group of family and friends, I seem to be in the upswing." That's awesome, man. I know you and I talk from time to time, and I'm very glad to hear that's what's going on, brother. He says, "Here's my question." He says, if you could, my phone's freaking out. One sec. He says, "If you could learn any real life skill instantly, coding, playing an instrument, blacksmithing, etc., what would it be and why? For me, I would learn the ability to cook anything I make to perfection. No matter the recipe or the difficulty, it would be the best version of that food. Hope you all have a great week. I'm currently brainstorming more chapters of IOG Masters at the moment, so it'll be a while before they are released. I hope you don't mind the delay. I just want to make sure they're up to standard. Thank you for your patience." Well, we appreciate it, brother. And thanks for writing in, as always. Instant skill. I've always wanted to be more into carpentry and woodworking in particular. I'm quite envious of Zach Bynum's dad's abilities. He can work on cars. He knows the inside and outside of airplanes just like the back of his hand. He can build anything. I'm like, that's awesome. Like, I wish I had those skill sets. I would like to build things. I actually considered taking a woodworking class several months ago. I just haven't had the the time, but specifically the finances to afford it, because I think the best class you can take in Atlanta is like a weekend type of experience, and it's not super demanding, but can't quite afford it at the moment, but that's something I'd like to be able to do. Like, oh, I feel like building a birdhouse, or I'd like to build this cabinet or a mailbox or something. I know that for what I do, it's kind of pointless, but I'd like to have that understanding. Cooking can be cool as well. I'm not a horrible cook when I like really focus on a recipe, but it's probably it for now. What about you?
Nice. I would like probably coding. I think that'd be cool to just like have an idea for an app or something and just be able to just do it.
Yeah, just crank it out.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah,
there's an app that you can learn coding that I actually bought the app to learn it. And I couldn't get past, you have to pass tests to progress.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't get past like the third or fourth test. Like no matter how many times I rewatched the lesson, it's like an interactive game you play to teach you too. And I just couldn't get past the test. So I gave up.
Hmm.
Yep. I wasn't that interested. I was doing it while I was at work one night. So
gotcha.
Maybe I'll go back to it at some point.
Well, cool.
Is that the only skill you're interested in for now?
Yeah, I guess. I guess any of those would be cool, but the one that sticks out to me most would be coding. That helped me out at work and stuff. So.
Absolutely. I wish life were like an RPG and you could just level up stuff very quickly and add perks and abilities and everything. That'd be nice.
Yeah. I mean,
life really is an RPG.
I wish I could take a potion and reallocate my skill points for sure.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Because, I mean, technically we could learn anything we put our minds to. There's not much stopping us but ourselves.
That is true.
So. Next one comes from Bruce Bogtrotter. He says, "Hello, boys. After playing Avengers beta for most of the night, I can't wait for the release of this game. It wasn't even on my radar before. Have any of you tried it out yet? Also, did you see the trailer for Wukong? What are your thoughts?" Man, I didn't realize you mentioned Wukong. I'm sorry, Bruce. Keep up the great work. Yeah, everything is fine back here in Blighty. We're in lockdown in the area where I live in, so no social gatherings, pubs, or clubs. I mean, that sucks. I mean, even Atlanta has been hit pretty hard, but everything's, for the most part, open still, which we're wild over here. I know other parts of the country have opened up, too, but supposedly... I mean, I haven't seen news. I haven't been on social media. So I don't know what the latest numbers are, but from what I understand, they just keep going up. But everyone's just out here having a good time still. So whatever. But I'm sorry to hear you're still in lockdown, brother. But I'm glad to hear you're enjoying Avengers. And my breakdown I did when I played the beta, there's certain positive aspects that I do enjoy, but I'm mostly concerned about it. I'm not totally hyped for it. But as far as I'm aware, I'm still reviewing the full version of the game for COD Connected. So I will have more thoughts on it, of course, once I get my hands on the full version, but glad to hear you're enjoying it. I'm not personally all that excited, but I know there are people out there who are pretty stoked, so I'm happy for you, man. And Wukong, as we mentioned, does look pretty sick as well, so we cannot wait to see more. You got anything to add, Preston?
I don't think so. I think I'm okay. Pretty much the same thing as you.
Zaranoth writes in and says, "What are your thoughts on Epic versus Apple? How do you think Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo fit into this when their stores all charge the same 30% cut and technically create the same monopolies on their platforms that Apple has on its? I don't understand why the hate is all directed at just Apple when it seems all the platforms take the same cut. On the flip side, I don't understand the hate that is getting thrown at Google too when they're the only one that allows sideloading apps and bypassing their store." I think Jacob and I mentioned this last week. Were you on the podcast last week, Preston? I can't remember.
I was not.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not all that invested in this story, but it's whatever to me. I couldn't really care less.
I did see that Microsoft actually backed Epic today. Mm-hmm. They put out a statement saying that having the Unreal Engine available to developers was like a crucial thing or something like that, but like you, I'm kind of just like checking.
Can you imagine if they revoked that and just didn't care about the money, the revenue they have from lending that engine out to other developers? They're like, nope, that's ours now. No one can use it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like you. I'll read the headlines and stuff, but it's just something that doesn't concern me. So I really don't know a lot about it at all, enough for me to like say that I have an opinion on it, you know?
Right. Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat. I'll keep an ear out, of course, for the updates on this story, but yeah, it doesn't interest me too much personally.
Yeah.
But thanks for writing in, man. Big Finale Andrew Marmuda writes in and says, lightning question for each of you fine gentlemen. Jacob, I'll answer for Jacob in this case. Jacob, your fitness has inspired me. I've devoted myself to the gains. Now, Jacob, if you could turn any person or animal into a wow mount and ride them around, who would it be and why? You would certainly turn me into a wow mount and ride me. That or Zach Bynum, maybe. Preston, any one piece of PC tech is now yours. What do you choose?
I want to go into the future and get a 3090 GPU.
Is that what it's going to be called?
Based on the leaks, yes.
A 3090?
Yeah, there's going to be a 60, 70, 80, and a 90 is going to be like what the TI is.
What is the purpose of this? When you have a 2080 Ti right now?
Yes.
Okay, what is just the big deal with this 3090?
It's going to have double the video memory. It's going to have like 24 gigs as opposed to mine having 12. And it's just better.
Does it just ultimately help you run games at higher settings just even more fluidly?
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's just
I understand that.
A better GPU.
And Garrett, you may have any camera to shoot at any location. Where do you shoot and what do you capture? That's the thing about cameras is there's so many good ones. I just recently shot on a Red Dragon. I know it's one of the older Reds. Everyone's talking about the Komodo now. That looks pretty sick. I don't have an affinity for Red because I've hardly shot on them, but that was definitely cool. I think the Alexa Mini is also phenomenal. The camera I really do truly want because it's the most versatile thing for what I do freelance wise would be the new Sony a7S III because it answers all the problems I had or currently still have with the a7 III. And it's certainly just, you know, it's a little mirrorless camera, but it packs a lot of punch for what it is. And it supposedly does not overheat like the a7 III. It has continuous shooting, so it doesn't just stop at 30 minutes. It has 4K 60, 4K 120, and then 1080 240, which is incredible. Many features I could talk about that just completely obliterate the a7 III, and that's something I definitely want to invest in as soon as possible. And these are the kind of problems I have. It's like, do I invest in a kick-ass graphics card or a new camera, a new lens or something? It's like I take my craft and what I've been pursuing for a while in terms of what I want to do for a career very seriously for a long time. So I have to make those decisions and they're often very difficult to make. But A7S III is something I would like to have because it's very versatile. You can travel with it easily. And where would I shoot and what would I capture? I'd like to think one day I'd be capable of filming a Batman film and capture that. That'd be sick. But realistically, I'd like to go anywhere to the Midwest and just shoot some drone footage and just make a fun little travel vlog of the Midwest because I've never been to the Midwest. But yeah, that's probably where my heart's at right now in that regard. So thank you all kings. You must forgive any misspelling of names. Well, Andrew, we appreciate you writing in, man. And those are fun questions. Sorry. Forgive me, Zach. Zach Bynum's the big finale this week. He says, each of you tell me your favorite story with me. I could tell a million with Zach. I'll keep it brief. Preston, you still there? You look frozen.
I'm here.
Man, you are amazingly still. Holy crap, dude. I have a million stories I could tell with Zach, but just one that's easy to tell for right now is when we were all, the four of us, me, Preston, Zach, and Jacob, were sharing an apartment in Duluth, Georgia. I was up early one morning for school. Zach and I were the only ones out of bed, and I was on the couch watching cartoons or something, eating a bowl of cereal. And Zach's fixing to leave. He opens our front door, and as soon as he opens it, you hear sirens in the distance. And he just slowly looks over to me, and we're just staring at each other in silence, and I'm like, go get him, Tiger. And he just smiles at me and walks out the door and not another word was spoken. I love that story so much. So that was a fun one, but I could tell a million. But what about you, Preston?
I'll just give a short one. When we were living in the apartment, I was transitioning jobs and I was so ridiculously poor that I was eating ramen like every single night. And I was,
you know, like ramen sandwiches. And
yeah.
Stuff?
I was trying to come up with different ways. So I think I found like just something I Googled with about like ramen recipes. So I made like a cheesy ramen sandwich and I'm eating this slop. And, Zach noticed and he felt so bad for me that, he took me to Wendy's and,
took me to Wendy's.
I was so appreciative of that. So
that's very
cool. So yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, we have a lot of memories in that apartment. Anyway, next time we have Zach on, we'll do like a story time. We could tell so many funny stories. But ladies and gentlemen, that'll do it for 245. I'm not sure how long this one was. It was kind of brief, but I have a lot of work stuff I got to do. It's been stressing me out the whole time, so I apologize for my distraction. But we greatly appreciate you guys tuning in and sending us fun questions as always. And we hope to hear from you guys in regard to all this cool DC stuff and gaming in general. It's an exciting next few months for the rest of this year, at least in the gaming world. And of course, movies beyond that. So we're excited to hear from you guys, and we hope you have just a blessed and wonderful week. And hope you remain safe and healthy with your friends and family. Preston, any closing thoughts from you?
I think you said it beautifully. Everybody stay safe, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
Yes, sir. Later.
Bye-bye.